my church. And we've been on quite a tour. Today I'm going to be looking at the big picture again, the greatest challenge to being church and its remedy. But before that, I wanted to go on a quick whirlwind tour of where we've come from. We began by looking at the fact that as humans, we're created for being in community. We need other people for our physical and our emotional well-being. And this is because we're made in the image of God, who is three persons within a divine community. Just we're celebrating that today, Trinity Sunday, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we remember that God doesn't just call us to follow Jesus individually, but together in his new community, the church. As Rachel Held Evans said, Christianity isn't meant simply to be believed. It's meant to be lived, shared, eaten, spoken, and enacted in the presence of other people. Try as I may, I can't be a Christian on my own. I need a community. I need the church. And then we looked at our expectations of church. What do we believe about the church? And we believe that the church is holy and Catholic. So the church is holy in that it is set apart for God, for service to God. Just as we set aside other ordinary things for service for God, like Holy Communion and Holy Baptism, ordinary water set aside for God's use. We believe that the church is Catholic or universal. That is, that there is one church around the world and irrespective of geography or race. And then we looked at how to make sense of when the church doesn't feel holy, but more like the frail elements it is. And so we talked about how the holy bread goes stale, the holy wine can turn sour, and the holy water evaporates. People sin, and the church sometimes fails us. And I noted that while this is disappointing, in a sense it shouldn't be surprising, because the thing about church is that you have to be a sinner first to get in. And then I quoted Rachel Held Evans saying, the church is God saying, I'm throwing a banquet, and all the mismatched, messed up people are invited. Here, have some wine. And then we discussed the way we respond when the church is more frail than holy. We talked about worship. We talked about that the word worship literally means to give worth to. And while it's true that God calls us to worship him, it's not because God needs our worship, as though he were a megalomaniac. It's us who need to worship. And God knows that if we don't place him at the center, something else will take that place. And God knows the kind of trouble that can get us into. I describe worship as a banquet to which God invites us. Worship as the place where God invites us to join in his divine life. And worship is our yes to that invitation. And we taught the problem of worship, that sometimes worship can be dull, or sometimes it can even be distracting, as it was this morning when all the windows were open and it was freezing, and I had Warren go around and close them, and of course they made a banging noise, each one as not Warren's fault. Very distracting was the time that fire alarms went off during worship. And I encouraged us to take comfort that worship has always been challenging for Christians. I reminded you of Jesus, who one day got into a boat to pray because there were so many distractions. So I encouraged us to think of worship less as a banquet and more as a family meal. So a family meal where there's lots of great conversation, fellowship, and there are also children complaining about how many more peas they have to eat. There's coffee spilled, and you run out of seconds for dessert. So it's not always Norman Rockwell, but there is more than enough good moments and love to keep us grounded in what truly matters. We talked about the church's mission. We looked at the Great Commission, to Jesus' command, to Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we looked at how our mission statement arose from that: connect, grow, equip, and send. And I talked about how these are the sort of eternal call for the church, but how these will be lived out differently in each generation. And there's another slide, Peter, that you can put up. There we go. We talked about why God created the church, what the church is for, which is really to join in the kingdom prayer, the prayer Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so the church is to join in God's kingdom building work on earth and to be a sign to the world of the coming kingdom of God. Last week we looked at the local context, we looked at our local opportunities and challenges, and I shared with you what I saw as the spiritual gifts in this community during my 8 months here. The gifts of hospitality and evangelism, of intercessions and mercy, of administration and lay leadership. And finally today we're taking a big step back once again to look at the big picture and consider what are the general challenges to church life and their remedy. Some time ago, I bumped into Harold Percy, who's a retired Anglican priest. He's from Trinity, Streetsville. And he has a role now often mentoring younger clergy. And as he was reflecting with me on his years of ministry, one of the things he said is, "Stephanie, I'm not one to see the devil behind every bush, but one thing I do know is that always at the same time that God was doing something new at Trinity, a challenge or problem would arise that would threaten to turn our focus away from Jesus and his mission. So be aware," he said, "don't be surprised when these things happen, and when they do, remind people to keep their focus on Jesus." It's interesting to me that Jesus' final prayer for his followers was that they might be one. Well, the night before his death, Jesus spent a long time praying for us. And that was the theme of his prayer: "Father, I pray that they can be one. As you are in me and I am in you, I pray that they can be one in us. Then the world will believe that you sent me." We were created to be in community, and God's plan in Jesus was not just to redeem individual humans, but to redeem human communities. But we live in a broken world, and so we pray against the powers and principalities which work against the unity that God wants for his church, the unity that is meant to mirror the unity we see in the Trinity: God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons living together in love. We talked earlier about the church being holy and set apart, but also frail and human. And so sometimes when we're in community together, the church shows its more frail side when broken human bumps up against broken human. And usually we experience it in small annoyances, a sharp word exchanged, disagreements. But sometimes there are challenges that arise that are much greater. And it was interesting to me as I listened to the church's history. Christ Church has had many challenges over the past where there was antagonism brought about over disagreements or hurts or loss. And yet, by the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, Christ Church's mission and ministry has continued to flourish. I wanted to share one of these moments with you. It was when the church burned down in 76, and I love the fact that there are still pews in the church where you can see the marks of those flames. And it was a tragedy when the church burned down. And in some ways, though, some of the people who were there at that time, while they spoke of the tragedy, they also spoke about a bit of the blessing, that it was a difficult time and there was a sense of closeness as they worked together to overcome these great obstacles. But there were also strains. There were strains in unity over the shape of the sanctuary. I think I have that right. A lot of people didn't like the new layout. I'm always amazed at how upset people can get over carpets and the color of paint on walls. But there were some who agitated and a few left. What enabled the church to persevere, a little battle-scarred, but still won through such turmoil? Well, in the world's way of working, we might look to power to try and force unity. We try to get people on our side or use our financial resources. But what God is calling us to is to surrender that and, like Jesus, to be poured out. St. Paul offers us an explanation in 1 Corinthians when he describes the greatest spiritual gifts. He gives that long list of all the different kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the three most important of which are faith, hope, and love. And I think faith is faith in God's word and promises. Hope has to do with a hope-filled attitude and focus. And then holding these together is love. Love that expresses itself over and over and over again in word and in action. And I don't know this for sure, but I suspect this, that when a church is filled with many believers who practice this faith, hope, and love, it actually serves as a kind of inoculation to disunity. It doesn't make the church invincible to struggles or strife, but I think it gives a kind of boost against the ills of strife and discord. And so in this sense, each one of us, our determination to live with faith, hope, and love strengthens the health of Christ's church. And this is true in any church, when people who belong to the body of Christ live with faith, hope, and love. They strengthen the health of a congregation to resist the pull to disunity. I know this all sounds idyllic, and I know personally how hard it is to live with faith, hope, and love when there are struggles in community life. But this is the better way. This is the only way, because it is the way of Jesus. Last week, I mentioned some of the spiritual gifts, and one of them was intercessions. And I forgot to ask, as you were coming in, there's a prayer which you can take on your way out. This is a prayer for Christ Church, and I invite you to take it home and to join with me and other people from Christ Church and praying for the church as we discern where God is leading into the future, as we discern how to steward our gifts so that we can join in God's kingdom work. And I'm going to pray that prayer now. Let's bow our heads. Loving Father, we thank you that you created us for community and call us to follow Jesus not alone, but with brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for this particular community, Christ Church, our home. We pray that when we gather to worship, you would draw us into your divine life. By the power of your Holy Spirit, equip us to be signs and bearers of your kingdom here in the city of Oshawa. Thank you for the particular spiritual gifts you have given Christ Church, and we pray that you would help us steward them well as we join in your mission to our world. Call us deeper into unity and empower us to live together as we follow Jesus' example, living purposefully with faith, hope, and love. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our offertory song is